Back to Two Nigerian Women. My name is Ibukun.
Hi, everyone. My name is Abidemi, and we have Uncle still in the building with us, Uncle Somadi. Yes. Welcome, Uncle Somadi.
Hello, still here.
Still here. We decided to do a part two because we wanted to, if you will, put a proper conclusion to Nigerian wisdom versus British wisdom. And I don't know if the other two agree with me, but like we shared in part one, I'm not saying the Bible doesn't have everything we need. I actually said, I believe if you are a Christian and you believe the word of God to be true, that should be your default setting. But because of our upbringing in both Nigeria and the UK, there is some cultural infiltration in certain ways we handle things, which is where the Nigerian versus British wisdom comes in. So let us unpack that with two other examples. So Sisi, which one should we go to first?
I think we should talk about neighbors because that is a culture shock in itself. Yes.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
So I really struggled when I first moved here because people ask you, you're doing okay. They're not asking you because they're really interested. They're just asking you to tick a box. And you don't stand at that and then, this and that. They're not really interested. And I think with time, I was able to tell because you also have that among colleagues at work, but that's another angle. But when it comes to neighbors, you in Nigeria, where we come from, the neighbor, a child is for the whole neighborhood. Everyone looks after everyone. It's a community. Not necessarily so here. You can't, well, I tell them off in my house, but you can't tell other people's children off on, and they won't tell your child, or even if your child's stepping out of line, except you have a relationship. What I find, if I go back, that a lot of the times, we that are, in quote, foreigners or immigrants or people that have moved here and have a different culture, we understand when it comes to neighbors, when it comes to actually genuinely wanting to know people. I think it is ingrained in us to be, cordial is not the word, but to be more interested in people that you have around us. Mm-hmm. And sometimes it comes across to a lot of people that's not how they're brought up, as being nosy. But if you talk to the older generation here, they will tell you that that's how it was then. So it is difficult. I won't lie. It is difficult. I have a neighbor that I didn't see for weeks and I had to call the police. That's how worried I was. And I was calling the police and I was looking over my fence because there was a strange looking man there. And I don't want, because she lives alone, I didn't want a situation whereby something will happen to her. And it's a smell coming from the house that you will know that someone is not no more. I didn't want that. Yeah. And that is the issue with day society, the Britain that we find ourselves in at this point. I had a neighbor that would look after my kids. I would look after their kids. If I'm going out, they're doing work in the house, you'll come and stay. We were in each other's lives. She moved away a couple of weeks back. And that is difficult because no one's going to watch my child. No one is going to be there. And just like, she doesn't have that, I don't have that anymore. So And you find, like I said before, going back, there are lots of people that it's not ingrained in them. In fact, it feels like you're doing a little bit too much when you ask them how they are doing. Yeah. When you're genuinely interested in them and their children, it feels like uncomfortable. I was speaking with my mom in school yesterday, and she's really struggling. And I just had to tell her, because she's Chinese. I said, I would just tell you, go with the people that are genuinely interested in you. And I think it's very important. I'm not saying you should be rude to other people, but you know who you're going to invest your time and your effort in. And it's not the first time I'm hearing that. I don't even know the be all and end all. I have a lot of things that I'm still having to learn. But just go with people that are genuinely interested in you. They are not interested in you because it's convenient. They're interested in you because they are interested. And I think if we learn to take that on board, because we can't, unfortunately, we can't change the society. We can't even change our neighbors. We can pray them out, though, but we can't change them. Do you understand? Mm. We can't, they already, they have a way that they do things. So it is important that we as individuals do not lose ourselves, but I think we invest in relationships that are worth investing in. I think that's for me.
That's what it is. But Cici, please, so because we're talking about neighbors, let us provide context because people might rethink what you said. Mm. You didn't call the police just because you've not seen her for 2 weeks. I'm sure you also went, you knocked on the door.
I did not. I knocked on the door I knocked on the door over time for 4 or 5 days.
Okay.
And then she had, she used to have a partner that was a bit unhinged.
Abusive.
Yes. Yeah. I was worried because the police have come because of this individual brandishing a weapon. So I have seen him sneaking and dodging. For me, I just like, what are you doing? So I had to do that. So out of concern, she's not somebody that I'm not friendly with. When I see her, I say, hi, hello, how you doing? How your parents? Has everything, has work? So I do chat with her. But speaking a lot, we are not really interested. So sadly, that I'm not in that place anymore with that neighbor. I can't interface that because I felt that was my responsibility. But I'm not there anymore. So all that is gone. So it is worrisome. So that's the context I was coming from. If it came out all wrong, that's what I meant.
No, it didn't come out well. To me, I understood. But to anyone who does not know the context, it might have been you just called the police like that. That's not what she did, people. That she did her due diligence before she then called the police. But back to Nigerian wisdom versus British wisdom, that should just be anyone with a heart being able to do it. But to your point, Cici, the way we were brought up was you genuinely cared about who lived next door to you. And I also, just like you, experienced the culture shock of the people next door. I don't think the first place I lived in, I don't even think I knew the people next door. I did not know what they looked like. They might have known what I looked like, but I did not know who they were. So if someone said, who is your neighbor, which is a common enough question in Nigeria, I would say, I don't know here in the UK. But back to wisdom, I'm having a caring heart combined. There are certain things that I now do, you know, in a fully grown adult mode that, how best to say it, is self-preservative in the British way, but still warm in a Nigerian way. So I know who my neighbors are. I'm intentional when I move somewhere, finding out who my neighbors are. When we have our summer barbecue, I invite them because, number one, the wise way of a Nigerian, so they don't complain about noise because they were invited. And number two, it allows them to relate to myself and my family. So in a way, I would say I approach dealing with my neighbors in a Nigerian British manner. I know enough now not to get involved in their business because it's always messy. It unfortunately is messy because in this country where people are normally closed off, when they've now expressed themselves to you and told you a bit about what they're going through, it's on your own head, though. You carry the thing on your head for as long as you live there. And I like a peaceful life. And genuinely, the best I can do for anyone right now is to pray for them. So in that sense, that is the way, from a neighbor's perspective, I handle it. Uncle Sumade, what about you?
So it's interesting because, especially talking about neighbors, even in Nigeria, the way we grew up, we were not very close to neighbors in terms of people living next door and all that kind of stuff, but there was always people in the community that we were friends with and, you know, went over to play with and came over to play with us. But as you know, in Nigeria, if someone's having a party, the neighborhood is having a party. So just expect people to turn up and sit in your front yard eating, playing games, that kind of stuff. So that's what I'm used to. And it's so strange here that only ever happens when the queen or king is turning 60 or 70 that you have a street party that the old neighbors are collaborating with. Otherwise, everybody sticks to themselves and, you know, nobody, you don't hear anything from anybody or something like that. So, yeah, dealing with neighbors here is so weird. That thing you talked about, you know, people being found days or weeks later after they passed away. When I first got here and I read about it in the newspaper, I was like, how is this? How is it that until the post piles up to the post box before they know that someone has died inside, you know, a house and nobody has checked on them for weeks and all that kind of stuff. I was thinking, what? You know, so I don't make it a point of to know my neighbors like that, but yeah, hello, how are you doing? How's the weather? You know, that's the classic British thing. You can always talk about the weather. When I lived in a block of flats and you got into a lift, you know, it's so funny where you get into a lift and what floor are you going? You press the floor and then everybody just stares at forward and maybe you go like, it's very cold today, isn't it?
Very
awkward. that's it. It's very cold today, isn't it? Oh, we've had so much rain.
I used to pray that I never meet anyone in the lifts. Seriously. I just used to pray. Sometimes I push the button, and then if I knew that I could, sometimes you could know when someone's coming in the lift. I just looked like I was looking for something and all of that. And I carried on. And then I wait for it to get empty, or I'll take the stairs. I'll rather walk that. Yeah. Because I didn't want that interruption. And then there was a particular lift that people didn't like to go because it was so far away. I prefer that lift because there was no one that would go down that way. So, yeah. Or the stairway was really, fire exit was hardly used. So I like that. So, yeah. But I know what you mean because, like, yesterday I went to a shop and I saw one of my old neighbors. And I just, because this was somebody that we had a somewhat kind of relationship. Our boys, one was older than my son and then one was younger. So they used to play in the hallway. They went into each other's houses. It was standard. And then I tried to reach out to her a couple of times. It was like I was bothering her. So when I saw her in the shops, I just did as if I didn't see her. She didn't see me anyway, and that's fine. I just carried on because there was no need. It wasn't going to go beyond a certain point. And I definitely wasn't going to keep in touch. And she was with a baby. I was like, oh, you have that. I wasn't going to do that because, genuinely speaking, to a certain extent, I am not interested anymore. I was at some point, not because we were neighbors, but just because I thought we built a relationship, but we didn't. So, yes, so I didn't say anything. So you have that as well, because it is very difficult when you are just trying to be a neighbor and people think you are doing too much. So you have that too. Yeah, you have that too. And it is very uncomfortable because you definitely are coming from a good place. But how would you explain you're coming from a good place? You've offered, you've tried, you've knocked, you've asked, you've said hello, you've asked about their family. It's not just hi, hello, bye. Like, sometimes it feels like it's not worth it. Do you understand?
I agree with you.
I am so friendly, like I'm all in. Is that I'm in or I'm out?
Oh, you're out.
Can't handle. It's not just for me. So I do say the odd greeting. I saw one of them in the shops as well, my neighbor, and I said hello, and we just exchanged presentries. But that's about it.
Okay. Anyway. So that is how, if you will, that's our perspective on Nigerian versus British wisdom. In terms of neighbors, dealing with neighbors here in the UK. Yeah. But let's go to the second topic, which I think is also very interesting. So we had in our break in between part one and part two, we had a list of different topics and we picked the other one and it was about marital conflict. So Uncle Sumade, could you pose the question?
No, as in talking about Nigerian and British wisdom in terms of marital conflict. you know.
Yeah.
I mean, mm-hmm. we know what to do biblically, but you mm-hmm. know, when emotions are high, you can sometimes the Christian doesn't always come out before the Nigerian or the British side comes out. So, I mean,
okay.
I think I'm not as loud. Well, I shout in arguments, and then my wife would be like, "Why are you shouting?" Mm-hmm. And then I have to be like, "Okay, fine." But I don't think I shout as loudly as I experienced in Nigeria. But most of the time, if I'm in conflict, if I'm not shouting, then I'm maybe being very passive aggressive, quiet, you know, just be like, okay. You know, so there have been times when, I think there was one time when me and my wife were fighting, and I decided, okay, I'm going to do a lot of ironing today, just to iron, rather than have the conversation, just spent a lot of time doing laundry and ironing, and she was like, oh, so is this what you do? So I don't know. Over to you guys. Okay. How do you handle conflict?
Do you know what? Something happened interestingly this week. And it, my husband and I were having what I called a heated discussion as opposed to a conflict. And the children went to him and said they were very concerned about our heated discussions because they were scared about the consequence of us being in disagreement. And the reason I'm going from this perspective is because to the children, it was the way they saw it was that it was too intense. And you said you shout, but not as loudly as you think it was in Nigeria, which you experienced as a child. So as a child, it was intense to you because you were a child.
Yeah.
You might be surprised. You're actually shouting at the same decibel level. So if they have that noise meter, and they measured it what it was in the 80s when your parents were arguing or someone else was arguing, and they measure it now, it's probably the same level. But as a child, it sounded much more intense to you than it does now as an adult. And in a funny kind of way, and I'm sorry, I'm not just generalizing, everyone shouts, whether Nigerian or otherwise. And my own, if you will, real life example was when I was on a secondment in Leeds, which is up north in the UK, every Saturday without fail. And my conclusion was these people went out Friday night, got ridiculously drunk, woke up Saturday morning, are upset with their partner, and there was always a shouting match. You could time it between 9:15 and 10 a.m. for almost an hour straight, so 45 minutes to an hour straight, constant shouting from the house that was behind the one I lived in. And I was like, number one, thank God these people are not Nigerian, or before they give us a bad name. That genuinely was my thought. It's like, what sort of people are these? They don't care who hears them, because it's not like the house was so close to each other. But literally, you can walk down the street and still hear the raised voices. So what they were going through was quite intense. In terms of me personally, coming back to me personally, I unfortunately shout when it's too much for me, when I'm overwhelmed in the discussion. Okay. And thankfully, what always sense checks us is the fact that, hold on, I love this person. And whatever it is we are having this heated conversation about, it is not worth ruining our relationship over. So after we calm down, it's like, okay, I am sorry for what I have done. Please forgive me. And the other does that too. It took us a while to get to this point, though. We've been married now for, do your math. A long time. That's all I can say. 25 years, according to Bidemi. We've been married for a long time. But at the very beginning of our relationship, we used to really argue ferociously. And one thing that was Nigerian wisdom was go and seek out someone outside of the marriage that you both respect to mediate between the two of you. So if it's an auntie or an uncle or even someone you respect in church, a friend, a mutual friend that wouldn't pick a side, go seek them out to help you come through this resolution. And I see that as Nigerian wisdom, and it's also biblical as well. In British wisdom, unfortunately, and please feel free to put in the comments if you disagree with me, I do not think that's a default state. I do not think they actively seek out counsel when they're in conflict. The first they probably hear of it in terms of talking to a counselor is when they've gone as far as wanting to divorce each other. That is my assessment of what tends to happen in typical British culture. I'll keep quiet now, Sissy. What do you think? Marriage conflicts, Nigerian versus British wisdom.
I think there's a lot of, I used to shout. I shout a lot. Even when I'm just having a normal conversation, I raise my voice because I'm very animated and very passionate about what I'm speaking about. So that was a bit difficult because coming from a different culture, that there was no shouting, and not really shouting when the mom was really upset or yelling. There wasn't that. So it's been difficult. In the morning, sometimes I have a go at the kids because they are taking too long to get ready for school. And then my husband gets upset. Why am I shouting? It's too early for all this shouting. Why are we raising our voice? We have a lot of that. So yes, we do differ on a lot of things when it comes to a lot of things. But I would say my children are used to me, because when they say, oh, they go to school and the teacher is yelling, they don't like it. So I said, well, I do that all the time. I say, well, it's very different. So I don't know. I can't really say so much about it because I don't notice the differences as much as a couple of years ago. So I can't really remember. Yes, so I think that's where I'm coming from. Or maybe I'm looking at the time.
Okay, no, time is okay. We have about,
how else do you handle conflict? So
I was going to say, Sissy, in terms of Nigerian versus British wisdom, I think that's what Uncle Somadi was going to say. How would you compare the two in handling marital conflict?
Oh, it's very different. There's a lot. We talk a lot. As a rule, there's a lot of discussions. So there's not a lot of yelling.
Mm-hmm.
So when it comes to conflict to a certain extent, if I'm upset about something, I throw a strop and just like not walk away, but just ignore. I do a lot of ignoring and I don't bother engaging. Yeah. But there is not really a shouting match because we have an understanding. So I think the shouting is more on the kids than with each other. I think that is what it is. We don't have a lot of that within ourselves.
Okay.
So there is a big difference though, because that's not what I saw while I was growing up. It was very, very different. But I think life is what you make of it as individuals. And I'm different from my parents. And the person I'm with is different from my parents. So I think there is a little bit of rubbing off on each other when it comes to dealing with situations. I think for me, yeah, that's it.
Okay. All right. So to the point of how a Nigerian
one final thing.
Would... Okay, go on.
So...
Go on, Uncle Somadi.
In Nigerian wisdom, the wife apologizes to the husband after a conflict, but in British wisdom, it can be either the other way around or mutual. So what's the practice? And is the practice based on in your lives? What's the practice? And is your practice based on Nigeria or British, or is it personal?
No, I think it's a little bit of both. But my intention, he apologizes, I apologize. I even apologize to my kids which I didn't get when I was growing up. You took whatever it was, whether even if they were wrong, you would take it like that. But I apologize, and he apologizes. So there's no ego when it comes to dealing with these things. And I think that is very important.
I agree, Sissy. And as we wrap up, if I could just point out once again, your upbringing does form a large part of who you are as an adult, but you also can, you can also raise yourself, if that's a phrase I could coin, raise your own self to be the person you want to be. Some people want to be horrible. That's your situation. But if you want to be a certain kind of person, you shouldn't just rely on your upbringing to be that person. Train yourself, find avenues to educate yourself and evolve. Because you did this as a child, or your parents did this as a child, doesn't mean that should be your story as well. Their story is their story. Do not use their own to spoil your own, essentially. And that is Nigerian wisdom. Don't use someone else's situation as your own situation. Don't carry it on your head like a mortar, you know, the, what do they call that thing? The people that carry concrete on their head. I forget what they call them. But those of you that know, put it in the comments. Because one thing I think we as adults now, in our age range, are able to identify is we need to change, and the change comes from within, not necessarily from without. So we hope this has helped anyone thinking the things we are thinking and saying out loud. And we thank you for listening to us. Please like, subscribe, share, tell people about this lovely podcast you're listening to. As we say, thank you again, Uncle Sumade, for bringing us a conversation that took us round and round in circles. But we hope you've enjoyed it. I will say bye, and in the next episode, Uncle Sumade, do you want to say bye before Bidemi closes us out?
Bye, everybody. Lovely hanging out with you.
Thank you, everyone, and thanks for hanging out with us. See you on the next episode. Please like, subscribe, comment, share. And if there's something you'd like us to speak on, please let us know in the comment section. We don't bite, so we would love to hear from you. Thank you. And
on the next episode. We do bite. We just do it with style. God bless you all. Bye-bye.
Bye.